Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, Dr. Drew pops in to give us a COVID update and deal with a pretty serious suicidal call. Vinny jumps in with some of his health tips. We take your calls. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Cyber criminals hide malware and emails that look like real invoices, invites, or payment info. With documents attached that you can click to, and then it installs malware on your computer. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives this holiday season. You could miss certain threats by just monitoring your credit and bank statements alone. That's where LifeLock comes in. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information is being used, they're on the network, they'll send you an alert. So protect yourself this year with LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you feel warm and protected this holiday season. Save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code Adam. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com. Promo code Adam.
Christmas time is here. The halls are decked with boughs of holly, and we're ready to get drunk and fight with our families. Carolla Drinks is here to help. This Christmas, Adam and the gang want to make sure the holiday season stays merry despite this goddamn pandemic. That's why we're offering the Carolla COVID Christmas Combo, which includes a Carolla Christmas t-shirt featuring Adam as anti-masker Santa Claus, a bottle of your choice, and a 2021 calendar filled with pics of the entire ACS staff and signed by the entire ACS staff. The Carolla COVID Christmas Combo is available at CarollaDrinks.com for $49.99. Get it for yourself or the ACS fan in your life. Happy holidays from everyone at Carolla Drinks. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the author of Constant Comedy, How I Started Comedy Central and Lost My Sense of Humor, Art Bell. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and Vinny Tortorich drops by. And now, urging you not to visit family this Thanksgiving, not because of COVID, just because they're a-holes. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The church is going to mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And good day, Paul Bryan.
Hey, old friend.
Yeah, Tortorich. Got one question from Jump Street for Tortorich, which has been making Sunny his sunny side up eggs. And the difference between using olive oil and using the butter as the shortening there, as the lubricant there, so to speak. I had some experiences, so I'm curious to talk to him about that. He'll have all his own
stuff.
That's
funny.
Yes.
Well, eggs are different. Eggs, you could go either way. But I remember maybe a year ago, I found a recipe for a marinara with butter instead of olive oil. And so I made it just to see, and it was delicious. And I brought it up to Vinny, and he sounded horrified.
Really?
So I know that that's very different, but to think about butter instead of olive oil in a traditional Italian sauce.
That's not the dietitian nutritionist in him. That's the paisan.
No.
That's him being Italian.
I think he was grossed out.
He's grossed out because he's Italian.
Pumpkin, have you ever tried olive oil? Yes.
I was going to say, Adam, what's your question specifically? Like, is it a taste thing, a preference thing, a nutrition thing, a keto thing? Well, what's the debate?
Well, that's the tease, Brian. Come on now. People are going to be.
You've been doing this a long time, you son of a bitch.
Sitting in their
it's
car.
The 80-20 rule.
For 28 minutes, wanting to know what my olive oil versus butter question is. All right. So also, when he heard, Vinny told me that when he heard that Gina used butter instead of olive oil, he about blew his conch shell. So
straight off into the ocean.
That's right. You can imagine.
Return from whence you came. All right. So we got that. I found out yesterday that my early December race at Laguna Seca was canceled. I know, moments after spending $2,000 on tires for my Paul Newman 2000 Porsche GT3 Cup car that he drove at Road Atlanta in the Petit Le Mans series back in 2000. I was going to take that Porsche out for a test drive at Laguna Seca, and I just found out the fucking thing's canceled. But it was also funny because when you take a car, it's a lot of like change the oil, change the filter, top everything off, flush stuff out, and fire it up. Like you got to get it out and crank it up and fire it up and get it up to operating temperatures. So I showed up yesterday to the shop before I found out the race was canceled, started talking about tires and air jacks and firing the car up. And Sean said, yeah, I fired it up this morning. And I said, what happened? And said, I got shut down. And I said, what do you mean you got shut down? He said, well, evidently, Stephanie and Lynette were doing a podcast. And
I thought it was a Ghostbuster situation.
some of the sound may have bled through. So Max Zapata found a clip of For Crying Out Loud, which they taped yesterday. And we'll just play you see what it sounds like.
They have babies later and later in life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can be confronted with fertility issues that...
That's 100 feet away and on the other side of three walls.
That's crazy. What the fuck is that?
What is it? You're in a warehouse full of cars.
Are they starting a car? Is that a car? That's a car. No, they don't. They're not. They don't know we're here, I don't think.
Yeah, that's what the Porsche sounds like from a long ways away. So, and that's
like a tornado.
Zero attenuation. I'm not turning that up for effect.
Well, that what people need to understand is that's kind of at idle. That car you would shift at 8,000 RPM, and the sound difference between idling that car and getting it up to 8,000 RPM, where you would shift every time, is many, many decibels difference. You don't hear it when you're. I mean, you hear it when you're in the car, but you're going so fast forward that it's kind of behind you.
Right.
And you're wearing a helmet and a hood and earplugs. So you don't really, it's not a big deal. But if you stand next to one of those cars when they fire up, it'll scare the shit out of you.
That sounded like a catastrophic natural event, whether it's a tornado, an earthquake, something rumbling in the distance.
Yeah, it is one of the things we're going to miss one day when electric cars take over. Oh, you have the vid of just the moderator Matt just sort of took it. The car was pushed. The car was outside, by the way, and 100 feet away from the studio. But we'll just play that for you.
Throaty.
Love that gurgle sound, right? Yeah.
Hey, so, explain to this nut. You know, I'm a less of a car guy than you are. With the $2,000 sunk on tires, the tires don't go bad, do? I mean, do they get with the elements, wear them down, or can you just save them for the next race?
They're somewhere between.
Or is it just the sting of damn? I just bought this for this.
They're somewhere between sushi and a granola bar, in terms of how long they can sit around in the kitchen. You preferably get the tires and use them when you get them. Sitting around, keep them out of the sun kind of thing. Keep them in a like cool, shady, dry place. But Yeah, they can sit a little, but preferably you wouldn't want to buy the tires and then just sit on them for X amount of years and then drive them. But what are you going to do?
Adam, I spend a lot of time, you know, when it comes to crafting or like furniture upcycling on Facebook Marketplace. Mm-hmm. So if you want me to throw those expensive high-end niche tires up there, I'm sure I could cobble out some sort of deal for you on Facebook.
We can grind them up and put them on your fake grass.
They are they're exquisitely expensive, but and I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to drive that car because it's more modern and they don't really have that class when they get back to what is the kind of traditional vintage series. All right, let's see. We've got a couple calls up there. John is from Belgium. He's got some take on voter fraud allegations. Let's hear what John from Belgium has to say. John?
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hi, guy.
I'm from California.
Oh.
Hey. I'm from California, but my wife is from Belgium, so I've spent a lot of time in Belgium, and I just wanted to give you our take over here. In Belgium, they have the same partisanship as the U.S., where everyone's being accused of being a racist and Adolf Hitler's one vote away from getting elected.
Oh, that's
but what
nice.
They do not have, yeah, it's nice. But what they don't have is voter fraud or voter suppression allegations. It's completely unheard of. So clearly, they're doing something right. The way voting works over here is first, it's all in person on election day only. There's no absentee, no mail-in, no early voting. Then when you get there, you go up to the poll worker, you give your voter confirmation letter to make sure you're at the right place at the right time. Then you hand them something else. Can you guys guess what this thing is you hand them next?
I'm going to go with an ID.
Yes, of course. Guys, I want you to listen to me carefully here. Every single country in Europe requires ID in order to vote. Every single one of them. The belief that ID is racist is unique to the United States.
Well, it's also super demeaning to black people, of course. But, you know, in a world where you need ID for everything, if you just kind of did a sort of power rankings of like, well, you need your ID to go through the airport, all right. And you need your ID to get on to certain campuses and things like that and workplaces. And in New York, you have to provide it to get into any building whatsoever. You can't get
pick up concert tickets.
Yeah, whatever. In a world where you have to flash your ID for just about everything, including, you know, the airport bar when a guy my age orders a beer and the guy still needs to see the ID, then the question would be, where does voting land in on this sort of importance level? You know what I mean? If it's important to show an ID for almost nothing in our society, well, then where would voting rank? And I would argue that voting ranks higher than at 50% of the stuff you need to show your ID for. But also, if in fact it's true, and I don't believe it is, but if in fact it's true that a large group, or even not percentage wise, but maybe by numbers, don't have ID, shouldn't we be making a concerted effort to get those people an ID? How else? Yeah. I cannot imagine being more, you know, we talk about being disenfranchised, you know, black, Hispanic, woman, gay, what, Latinx, lesbian, whatever. How could you be more disenfranchised in this society by not having an ID? Like, would there be one thing that would hobble? I mean, imagine a life. You know, we all have kids. Imagine a life where you go, you may never have an ID. Like that kid's
what could
life.
You do.
You're not on the grid.
You'd be a third class citizen, not even second. So if in fact it's true that there's voter suppression because people don't have IDs, which there isn't, but if it is, let's figure out a way. We're pretty good at stuff. You know, we have mobile breast examination mobiles and book mobiles and blood mobiles and stuff. Couldn't we do an ID mobile? We'll come to those counties where people are disenfranchised and
it's
help them.
It's kind of surprising
them.
They don't do that, honestly, because the elections are known many, many years in advance. Isn't the second Tuesday every 4 years in November? So, I mean, it's not as though this is sneaking up on you like, oh, that's already here.
They don't do it because they know it's not a real problem. They say it's a problem, but if it was a problem, then they would do it because that then begs the question, what's next? Okay, so these people don't have IDs. Let's figure out a way to get them IDs. They don't believe it. Lisa's 45. She's from Ohio. Saw a story about COVID-sniffing dogs. What?
Yes,
Lisa, 45?
Yes. Hi, everybody.
Hi, guy.
Mm-hmm. There's Denmark. They take a swab and they swab you, and the dog can sense it before you have symptoms. So it's like your crystal brain for the STDs and then the cancer. Now it's the COVID.
Yeah. Well, dogs, turns out, can smell everything. So we need not make classifications. They can smell gunpowder and pot and cocaine and backyard fruit and kielbasa that's being smuggled, and they can certainly they can smell venereal disease. That's what I wanted to use them for initially, for, you know, rent them out for parties, you know what I mean, some of those big
no, he wanted it for bachelor casting,
that's right, as well, right? Many, it's a Swiss Army knife. There are many, many different applications, but yeah, why not? And also, everyone loves dogs.
No false positives or retesting.
Yeah, there's nothing in it for the dog. This is, yeah, we talked about this. This is the Helsinki airport, right, Lisa?
Yes, that's what I saw.
Yeah,
when I read about it. Yeah.
Helsinki airport sounds like an all instrumental band that does incredible Christmas music. Thank you.
Synth based.
All right. Well, thank you for. How's it going over there in Ohio?
Oh, well, our little tiny tyrant of a governor, not as bad as yours, luckily, but, you know, just gave us a curfew. Retail is closed from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. because COVID doesn't fit in the day. It comes on at night.
Sure, yeah, and when the streetlights come
on. Yeah, and restaurants were already closed at 6, and we have a friend who has a catering hall for weddings. He's already lost $900,000 in revenues, and they're saying you have to sit down.
Yeah.
You have to bring the drinks to you.
But if it saves one 91-year-old, it's all worth it, Lisa.
That's
what I've learned.
Exactly. Who would have died of, you know,
well, we have our California lawmakers just, they just get back from Maui, or are they traveling to Maui? Dawson's got the story.
Yeah, they're in Maui right now. I believe the conference begins today.
Huh.
Legislators from California and other states are gathering for an annual conference in Maui this week, despite a spike in COVID-19 cases in the Golden State that resulted in travel warnings by health officials. More than half a dozen California lawmakers are among the 50 people attending a policy conference sponsored by the Independent Voter Project, a nonprofit group, at the Fairmount Kealani Hotel in Wailea.
Sounds dangerous to me.
My honeymoon there.
Yeah. Are they going to? Oh, you did. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Are they? I hope they quarantine for 14 days when they come back.
I was going to say, Hawaii was crazy about the quarantine rules, the 14 days, all that stuff,
it's
eliminating
over.
Travel. They were leading the way and, you know, when tamping down the other cases.
Under Hawaii's Safe Travel Program, which was established on October 15th, those attending the conference must provide Hawaii government health officials and the hotel proof of a negative coronavirus test taken less than 72 hours from arrival in Hawaii.
Well, when did they leave L.A.? A couple days back? Yeah. Very dangerous.
Yeah, over the weekend.
All right. Hey, man, but the shit's going down. They shouldn't be traveling. Hmm.
Well, it's best for them to all get their brains together and come up with a solution. Did you hear about
maybe
the story
there'll be
about
a tsunami and we'll fucking dodge a bullet. Yeah.
We'll start over. Did you hear? We reported this the other night. I forgot to tell you. There was a woman who is rip shit pissed that was traveling from San Francisco to Hawaii and you have to get tested. And so she did. And, you know, all the paperwork was in order. She got on the plane to Hawaii. When she got there, I guess you have to show your paperwork or get tested again or something like that. And the Walgreens or whatever the pharmacy was in San Francisco said, "We are so sorry to tell you this. We know you probably just arrived in Hawaii, but a hobo got into our supply of tests and knocked them all over and messed them all up. So we cannot prove that you're COVID-19 free." So she had to fly back.
Oh, God.
She didn't even get out of the airport.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, isn't that the perfect story, the perfect snapshot of 2020? Yeah. COVID test, can't get there, and then a homeless person broke in, messed up all the tests, and everybody has to come back.
Dawson's got another snippet.
One more thing from this hard-hitting article from the Los Angeles Times. Newsom is also facing criticism for recently attending a birthday party at a Napa Valley restaurant with people from other households. The governor apologized Monday, saying his behavior contradicted the spirit of the state safety guidelines.
Wow. There's spirits of guidelines? I thought
we
had rules.
I'm curious if he's ever sued against the spirit of a guideline.
Didn't contradict the guidelines, just the spirit of them.
Oh, yeah, it's interesting. The Times saying something has to say something about Newsom, but it can't be negative.
But no follow-up questions.
Right.
Yeah. There we go. Good enough.
All right. So you guys decide how you'd like to run your life. I've already made my decision many, many years ago when I started going through red left turn eras. Yes.
Oh, I quickly want to answer a question that you brought up the other day, because remember we were saying, like, why does Orange County get to do whatever they want and nobody cares? Well, they were in a different tier. They weren't in the dreaded purple tier like L.A. County was. But
why not?
They were
doing whatever they wanted. Yeah, they're still going to keep doing what they want.
Now everybody's rolling back to purple. Like, so many of our counties are all back to purple.
Yeah, their purple is more of a suggestion, though, I think.
Purple question mark?
I had this conversation. We got a call up here that we were going to use with Drew, but I don't know what happened to Drew. Max,
Drew's still recording his show. I was going to grab him as soon as he wraps.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, give me a heads up because we got a caller up there that needs his assistance. I was talking to Drew earlier today about this phenomenon when we were kids, and he suggested a lot of it was prevalent when he was a kid, too. It doesn't seem to exist anymore, which is wishing and begging and pleading. I spent my entire childhood like begging for stuff, like, oh, come on, I want a mini bike. Can I get a mini bike? Tommy Johnson has a mini bike. How come I can't get it? Like, a lot. And it would spill into days. Mm-hmm. Right. Like the next day, we'd be talking about the mini bike or you wanted a dog. And it would just like keep going and going and going. Is it just me or the kids today not really doing the begging like they were, especially the ongoing? My beggings would last into weeks and sometimes months, especially if it's leading into Christmas. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But question was, is the begging stopping because, you know, you stop begging once you get the thing you want? Or are they just saying, oh, screw it, I'm not going to beg anymore? Because that's two different things.
I think it's
because the begging's going on in this house. I'll tell you that.
I think it's so much. Yeah, that's for BJ. We're not talking about your man. Limited to kids here. The point is I think there's so many distractions that you don't hang your hat on like that one thing that was out in the future. Like, remember, like, Christmas is coming up. My kids haven't brought it up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This would be the time you'd start tilling the soil for some Schwinn bike or something, some go-kart or something. It's like you'd really start working your parents about now to try to get that thing. But we didn't have, you know, a 50-inch TV in our room and a Game Boy and all that, and a phone that has every bit of information and, you know, fantasy football stats, you know, a plenty on there. Just didn't exist. So I just got to believe that in a way I grew up like I was in prison and I was taking a stick and carving X's in the wall. Like, okay.
Tally marks.
Well, yeah. Another 41 days until Christmas, you know, and circle that date. But I think kids today have a little different perspective. Yes.
That's an interesting insight with the distractions thing, because Tessa's only 4. She's not really in the begging for, you know, the bike or the video game or whatever. It's just, you know, she likes her stuffies or whatever. But when her demands, her wishes are more short term, like she'll beg and plead for a graham cracker or a cookie or whatever. And we're like, no, too many sweets today, sorry, blah, blah, blah. If we distract her with a tablet or a game or a book, like, she's on to the next thing. So there's an interesting insight.
Short attention span versus a vacuum of activity that we grew up in. Somebody called the Adam and Dr. Drew show earlier, and she was talking about she was at the Trump Million Man March. She's 27, attractive female, and she had her dog, and she wanted to discuss feminine canine hydration disorder or fucked. And this is something that I stumbled onto in the lab some years ago when I would walk Phil, and cars would pull over and middle-aged women would get out with bottles of water and try to feed it to Phil. And I realized, and I also started realizing Lynette was always obsessed with Phil's water. Who's filling that bowl? You know, he's whatever. And so it's a syndrome that strikes women. But she pointed out at the Trump rally that it was exclusively men who approached her with water bottles for her dog. And we're basically trying to poke holes in my feminine canine hydration disorder. But I fired back that they had RCS, that those men were suffering from restless cock syndrome.
They didn't care about the dog.
Yeah, it was a way to get to her.
She's 27. She's attractive. And it wasn't about feminine canine hydration disorder. They were suffering. They were in the throes of RCS, restless cock syndrome. And then we dug up the old PSA we did. But it's worth playing again. So I think Maxipata.
We got to get the word out. We're your responsibility.
Yeah, you don't just play PSA once. It doesn't take.
I thought I was the only one.
I told myself I was in control.
It was constant, unrelenting.
I felt trapped, helpless.
I just can't make it stop.
I tried pills and drugs, but that only made it worse.
My name is Kalen.
Dylan.
Matt.
Dawson.
Gary.
Chris.
And I suffer from...
I suffer from...
I suffer from...
I suffer from...
I suffer from RCS. Restless cock syndrome.
People think RCS is a joke.
They laugh when they hear what it stands for.
What they don't hear is the crying I do at night, knowing tomorrow will be another waking nightmare.
I can't live like this anymore, but now I know there's help.
Hi, I'm Dr. Drew, and I've helped countless men who have suffered from RCS, restless cock syndrome. It's not a joke. It is a serious condition that affects 3.8 billion men, and they suffer each and every day. You are not alone. You are not a monster. Call your doctor now and set up help. You can get it to stop. You can tell it no. You can take back control and get help today.
All right. So Dennis from St. Louis, if you can hear me, we'll bring Drew in and we'll address your very serious problem momentarily. First, I'll tell you about Matt, 51 Harbor City, California. Matt?
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
Hi, guy.
Great to be on your show.
Hey, man.
Hi, guy.
What's going on?
Hey, originally from Harbor City, I'm down here in San Juan Capistrano nowadays.
Nice.
I'm a small business owner. Mm-hmm. I own my own magazine. And all I do is work with other small business owners here in Orange County. Thankfully, we don't have COVID-19 in Orange County.
Yeah.
It's great that we've been able to avoid it. You know, getting things thrown down our way from this governor with this new purple tier, whatever that is. But it's so ridiculous how it's taking such an effect on these little business owners.
What's going
from
on?
Restaurants being
you want to talk about sports leagues over there.
Yeah, my kid goes to private school down here, high school, mm-hmm. freshman.
Has that been open all along?
Oh, yeah. My kid's been in school since August. That's my daughter. Nice. She's in grammar school, private schools, but they're just going.
Get them a body bag. That's what I got to say. There's no way those kids can take it. Yeah.
They literally give us an update every week, and it's like zero cases.
I dropped my fucking kids off today at school. They sat at home for 3 months, and then when cases got to be the highest and we got elevated to purple, that was the week we chose to reopen the schools. So there's a lot of science that we have to listen to, people. Sorry.
Well, when
yes.
They just said this purple tier. I got an email from the varsity basketball coach saying, okay, well, I guess we got this purple tier, so all we're going to do is practice outside now and lift weights outside. So we'll keep practicing. We're just going to do it outside now.
Good.
And
listen, God bless you. Live in a semi-normal place. Dr. Drew's just entered the studio.
Thank you.
Drew, why did my kid's school open the week that we had the we shifted to purple?
Science. How dare you?
Oh, okay. So the idea is we're all going to sit at home rotting until the caseload got high enough, and then we're going to reopen the school?
perfectly logical, perfectly natural, perfectly appropriate.
What's
the matter with you?
What is going on with the spike? Give us a
thumbnail sketch. The frightening thing to me about the spike is we don't know how high it's going to get, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know where this virus is going presently while we run headlong into the dash to the vaccine, which for me is probably about 3 weeks away.
Really?
Yeah.
3 weeks from being distributed.
For doctors and very high risk, yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get the vaccine very, very soon.
How about a doctor who's at high risk of being choked by his partner if he doesn't get the fucking vaccine? Would that be a high-risk situation?
That's the problem. That's what they're concerned about.
It's risky.
Yeah. It's risky. So the widespread vaccine distribution will probably be in April. So, yeah, we got to get through this period of time.
Why the gap between 3 weeks and April? I know it's a much smaller group that's going to get it.
It's the manufacturing. They've got like 10 million that they're going to get up front, and then they're going to do 100 million on the heels of that very quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's
going to be. Point, Drew, is it going to be. Do we know? Is it going to be Pfizer? Is it Moderna? Do we know who it's going to be?
I predict by April, there'll probably be three different vaccines. In December, we don't know which, and it might be different at different hospitals.
What if you live in New York because Cuomo doesn't trust those vaccines?
Yeah, Newsom here. They have to have their own committee of lesser scientists look at this thing. So,
But to be fair,
Biden has his own group, too. So all of them have to have their – there is such high-quality people in the CDC and the FDA looking at this thing. That's all I need. And I'll go take it.
Moderna and Pfizer aren't the ones telling us what the efficacy is. It's not like they're telling us and we're supposed to trust them.
What?
Right? Pfizer isn't saying, hey, guys, we're 90% effective. And Moderna's not saying 94%. It's a third-party testing group, right?
Well,
we're not just believing the pharmaceutical company.
Well, it has not been – the studies aren't complete yet. They just opened them and said, here's the data. And that's the data. Then they're going to finish the study. One of the good news about the current outbreak, it's accelerating the research. Mm-hmm. It's accelerating the vaccine research because more people are getting exposed and they're getting to the finish line quicker with number of converts in the placebo group. So you're getting more people getting the virus, so you get the vaccine research completed. You can send it to peer review, and that's all going to be done in a few weeks here.
I'm guessing Newsom's just a posturing douchebag with this. We need our own committee to investigate. 100%. Like what, Trump polluted the vaccine?
It's his vaccine, therefore it's bad. I don't know. Look, it is the FDA. It's the CDC. It's a whole virology group. It's a vaccine group. It's the pharmaceuticals number.
All right.
There are so many high quality people involved.
We should definitely waste some time and waste some money
with his hand-picked
blue ribbon panel to vet the vaccine, which has already been vetted.
In any event, so one of the good news about the outbreak is it's accelerating the vaccine research. The other piece of good news about the outbreak is that death rate, particularly in California, continues to decline in spite of hospitalization rate going up. The hospitalization rate nationally is going up higher than it's ever been, but some of that may be the fact that doctors have changed their behavior. Now we are encouraging people into the hospital, right? Come in as soon as if you're a risk person who's sick, come in now and get the Regeneron, get the Lilly drug, get the Remdesivir, get the convalescent plasma. Let's give it to you now, as opposed to during the two previous surges, we said stay out of the hospital and had probably the same level of hospitalization, which is probably why the death rate is flat to down depending on which state you go to. Some state it is going up, and those are states that have not had any previous outbreaks at all who are now having their primary surge.
The overall death rate, the year in and year out death rate, is that flat?
Are you talking about the estimated death rate we would have without an outbreak? I'm using the wrong terms here. It's essentially when there's a pandemic, you see the estimated death rate come up above baseline. So there's an estimated number of people that die every day in this country. Then it's always pretty flat, except when we have pandemic and it goes up maybe 5% above that. What's interesting is recently it's gone down below the usual estimated death rate, which means that the people that died in the peak would have died now anyway, which is true. The probability of you dying within the life expectancy of somebody admitted to a nursing home is 6 to 18 months. So most of those deaths were nursing home deaths, and they would be dying now anyway of their predicted death related to aging.
I say one death is three too many. All right. So we got Dennis with a serious situation from St. Louis, who's 40. Dennis?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me just read the screen here. 18-year-old daughter, suicidal, into drugs, overdosed on fentanyl. And now she's in the hospital trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, so pretty much. So backstory, she's been struggling with depression for a while. She's had a, been in three times to the ER for suicide attempts. One time it was not a really serious suicide attempt. I mean, she just like kind of did some superficial cutting on her arm. Another time she took some sleeping pills. And so they put her on Prozac. She has not really been compliant with taking it and been skipping her therapist.
So here's the problem. Here's the problem is that she's 18 and you no longer have the ability to put her someplace against her will. So the question is, is she willing to go somewhere for treatment?
I'm not sure. So right now, she, like Adam said, she was at a party.
I don't need details. She needs to be – if she has opiate addiction, and opiate addiction is a
– Well, she does.
Go ahead.
As far as I know, that's the first time she's ever done an opiate.
No. So, it's not. Get that out of your head. Get that out of your head. That's just not so. You don't magically start with fentanyl. It just doesn't happen. Not unless she accidentally was exposed to it, but that's sort of rare too.
Go ahead. That was her story, that she met a guy at a party. He had it. They each did –
The stories. Stories.
The EMF came, gave them Narcan. She woke up. He was dead.
Yeah. That's not a first-time exposure. It just isn't.
Is the COVID thing affecting her negatively, or has it sort of gotten worse over the last 9 months?
I mean, I'm not sure if that's – I think that's related because she hasn't been able to go see friends, so she's home. She's been more depressed. I think that has something to do with it, but she also smokes a lot of pot, which I think is not helping her.
Yeah. Well, this is an addiction story. This is all an addiction story, and she needs a long-term treatment. Is there alcoholism in the family somewhere?
No, not really.
Tell me the not really story.
I think my grandpa. I guess my grandpa was an alcoholic.
Okay, so the answer is yes. So the answer is yes, there's alcoholism in the family. That's a affirmative. So that puts her at risk, right? And so you really have to get serious about the substance use here and the dangerousness of the situation. She needs long-term treatment somewhere. She needs a really – like a dual diagnosis residential program for younger adults and long-term – like several months. This is not something that you just spend a couple of days in the hospital and magically and do some outpatient. You can do outpatient, but it sounds very, very, very dangerous. I mean, if this were my daughter, I would go somewhere really long term. I would be aiming towards a year somewhere. I'd be hoping that we could get her into something, you know, at least 6 months where this thing can settle down and get properly treated. It takes a while. I'm worried there may be some trauma under there somewhere that she's never told you about that kind of sounds like that.
Well, she had a sexual assault that happened at school.
So,
really have any treatment after that.
Right.
I mean,
So this is all dolls.
And so, she has had the problem. We've had the problem that she was at our house. She told us that she wanted to die. We called the police. They said when they got there, she lied to them, said, "I didn't say that." And they said, "She's 18. We can't do anything."
Right. That's going to be your biggest problem. Is that she can do whatever she wants. And that's the really sad thing about our circumstance in this country. That's why we have homelessness, because we're not allowed to treat people that have illnesses where their insight distorts what's going on with them. So, but she needs a really, you know, good, high-quality, long-term facility. You just got to get her buy-in.
Should he be going to Al-Anon?
Oh, absolutely. or get your own therapist so you can be – because every interaction is going to be – yeah, all your instincts she's going to use in the wrong way. Every parenting instinct gets manipulated in these kinds of situations, and you have to have somebody there advising you and coaching you and telling you how to every interaction should be conducted.
All right, Dennis, you're with your wife?
Not right now.
Right,
yes, we're married.
You're married. All right, you and your wife create a united front.
Yep.
And start looking into longer term rehab.
Yeah, I'm sorry you're dealing with this, but look at it as you would deal with somebody with any other serious medical illness. Like, let's say she had cancer, what would you do? You would find a treatment program. You would put her in there as long as was necessary. You would, you know, unify in your ability to create that for her and structure it. You've got to approach this just like you would if she had cancer or any other serious medical condition.
No matter how many times she tells you she doesn't have cancer.
Right, exactly.
Good point.
It's a good point, Gina.
All right, Drew, hit the bricks.
All right, thank you.
All right, Vinny Tortorich is waiting in the wings. Talk nutrition, especially a lot of people looking to drop a few LBs heading into the holidays. And so you can sort of eat with impunity. So we'll talk to Vinny in a second. First, I'll tell you about the Nutrafol. 80 million men and women in the U.S. experience thinning hair. Take charge and take a few months and grow thicker, fuller, healthier hair. Nutrafol, physician formulated with potent botanicals to help you grow hair as strong as you would like. No lasers, no chemicals, 100% drug-free ingredients. Might also help you with sleep and stress and skin and nails as well, and libido. Well, how do you do? Visit Nutrafol.com. Take the hair wellness quiz for customized product recommendations. When you subscribe, you'll get a monthly delivery, so you never miss a dose. Free shipping, pause or cancel anytime. That's Nutrafol, right, Dawson?
You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and using promo code Adam to get 20% off. This is their best offer available anywhere, plus free shipping on every order. Get 20% off at Nutrafol.com, promo code Adam. Their best offer anywhere, 20% off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Adam, for hair as strong as you are.
All right. You can go to drdrew.com and check out all his live stream podcasts. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Vinny Tortorich right after this.
The Adam Carolla Show presents Vinny Tortorich's birthday cocktail party for September 27th. Let's see who's invited. Former King of France, Louis XIII. American Revolutionary, Samuel Adams. The Fat Man, William Conrad. The host of Soul Train, Don Cornelius. From the Guess Who and Bachman Turner Overdrive, Randy Bachman. Like a bat out of hell, Meatloaf is here. Baseball Hall of Famer, Mike Schmidt. The coach of the Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr. Avril Lavigne. And the Goop Girl, Gwyneth Paltrow. Vinny Tortorich is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Not too shabby, Vinny. VinnyTortorich.com is where you can go, and you can listen to the podcast and get some phone consultations as well. Also, the NSNGFoods.com. Vinny, I got a quick sunny side up egg skillet question for you.
Ooh, this sounds like really hot talk. Go
hot
ahead.
Skillet
By
talk.
All means.
So,
Salty Vinny.
You'll be happy to know I got Sunny on the sunny side up eggs. So I've been making them that for breakfast. And the other day, I got a steel frying pan. I guess stainless steel, you know, fair to Midland, decent frying pan. And I put some olive oil in it and I cooked it up in that. And I needed a jackhammer to get the fucking egg out and onto Sonny's plate. This morning, I put it in a cast iron skillet. I used butter, and it slid right out. Now, is that the skillet? Is that the butter? Is that the olive oil? What is it? And should we use olive oil or butter when you're making a sunny side up egg?
Both are great. As much as I love olive oil, I love the butteriness, if that's even a word, of an egg being cooked in butter. And I love olive oil on just about everything else. The rest of it is chemistry. A cast iron pan is more porous and is going to hold, you know, you season those. If you buy them from Lodge, they usually come seasoned nowadays. So when you heat it up, you have enough oil in that porous metal to come out. Stainless steel is a harder, thicker metal. And it's hard to season that. You probably have to work it a bit. And if you start with it too hot, you know, if you let it really sizzle and you drop it in there, that egg, the albumin from the egg, the protein is going to stick to the bottom of that pan. That's probably what happened to you there.
Yeah, I think so. I'll tell you my move with the sunny side up, because I don't like it too runny. I just put a lid on top of it and kind of steam it up a little bit, and it kind of cooks the top just enough to get a little bit of that yolk running, but not have it be all sort of pussy and gooey.
Well, that's not a bad move, but that's still a rookie move.
Understood.
Let's go pro here. Let's take it up a level. Put enough butter or oil in that pan so that you could take a tablespoon while you're cooking it and just lap a little bit of the oil. Ooh. Just baste it up there. Mm. That's the way the pros do it.
Mm. Yeah.
So you might want to consider
I am going to go with that move. Also, so you wanted to talk deodorant, which is good, because I literally am going to buy deodorant today. And deodorant is one of those things that's confounding to me. Like, first off, smelling like deodorant is not what you're looking for. Like, all the guys who use the Ultra Impact, Red Zone, Old Spice, spray on, whatever, super jock formula. We all went to high school or had a guy in our fraternity or work with a guy that just has the deodorant smell. And I think he thinks he's winning because you don't smell my pits. You're smelling, but you're reminding
me. Pits.
Well, you know what? It's basically the pit version of you walking into a bathroom that just got destroyed, but someone sprayed pine.
Played, yeah.
Right. It's like now I'm smelling ass and pine.
Yep.
I don't understand why people just don't go get the Toms of Maine or one of those solid ones that just smells like, you know, baby powder or something and do that. But Vinny, your thoughts?
I was just picking out some reclaimed wood, and the guy that was helping me, he owned the company. He had on cowboy boots and Wrangler jeans. The guy looked the part. But he wanted to show me some wood in the back of the warehouse. And when I followed him, I could smell the wafting.
I mean? Yes.
And the only waft that should come off of that guy is either Old Spice or bay rum. Nothing else.
Maybe a little cedar.
He should smell like wood.
Like the product.
This guy smelled like a product. And I was like, dude, just take the cowboy boots off. You just sold yourself down the street.
What were you using the reclaimed wood for?
I'm building out my basement. I just finally bought a house here in Virginia, and I'm building out the basement. It's going to be where I do all my podcasts. It won't look like this anymore. It's going to be my gym. It's going to be the ultimate man cave. I'm going to have a little reclaimed wood in there because I like wood. I buy shotguns. I spend a year building them based on getting the wood out of Turkey and having it shaped. I'm weird when it comes to wood. You may not understand, but
I am uniquely qualified to understand the wood. Yeah. It's also a great thing that we essentially took old worthless barns and labeled them reclaimed lumber. Oh, and now of a sudden it's 10 times as much as the new shit.
Yeah. Upcycling. Oh.
Yeah. It could be $8-$9 a square. And, you know, the bottom line on that is, you know, most of that barn wood is soft wood. You know, if you want to use this stuff for floors and such, you got to find the hardwood, and that's even more difficult. So good luck on that.
All right. So let's talk about, let's see, we're coming into the holiday season. Thanksgiving's about a week away or so, a couple more days than that, but what are some, if people are looking to cut, say, I want to cut 10 pounds, 8 pounds going into that Thanksgiving night where I'm going to pull up that big plate of stuffing and turkey and whatnot. What's a good quickie, what are we, 10 days away, something like that? What's a good quickie way to just cut going into Thanksgiving?
If you are not a person, if you're a person who eats a lot of carbs, the best way to go in is to just switch those carbs out for more fat and protein. Do not do the intermittent fasting and all that, because you're going to fail at that. Intermittent fasting is something you do after you're fat adapted, if you want to do that.
Right.
But if you think, hey, I'm just going to cut out some calories here, you're going to be hungry half the day. You're going to go into bitch mode. You're not going to like it. You're going to be hangry all the time. It's better to do the high fat, the eggs that you were talking about for breakfast with the fat in it. You want to make sure you get some lunch and some dinner. Don't do, if you're just doing a 10-day thing, do not try to attempt intermittent fasting. You're going to fail miserably. And when you get to that meal, if you're planning on blowing it out, that's fine. But realize that it's a meal. And yeah, I know everyone likes to save everything for the next day and do, because the next day is actually better. You could do that too, but get back on it after that. Come Saturday, get back on track. We're not babies here. Have your meal, have your after meal, call it a day.
I would never do this, but whenever I do, the rare times that I do this, I'm thankful that I did. The strategy of, like, you got the stuffing, you got the yams, you got the mashed potatoes, and then you're going to have the broccolini or the salad or the green beans or whatever it is. We're all bad at this, but is there a strategy to just going, I'm going to eat this salad and I'm going to eat the green beans and I'll just do it first? And then I'll start getting into the stuffing and the mashed potatoes and all that kind of stuff. But I will take up some real estate in my belly with something that's not going to make me blow up.
Again, rookie move.
Really?
Food. Oh, God. Yeah. And here's the problem. People spend so much time eating around what they want to eat, what they're going to eat anyway. Don't do that. You know, I've always said, you know, you might have a carton of ice cream in the fridge that's talking to you. It's like, wait, I'm just going to have a little scoop of peanut butter. Wait, I'm just going to have a little scoop of yogurt. You eat 10 things and then you go hammer the ice cream anyway. You do that at holidays also. Don't eat around what you really want to eat.
All right.
Right. Mm. Enjoy the meal. I've always said it doesn't matter what you eat between Christmas and New Year's. It only matters what you eat between New Year's and Christmas. So enjoy the holiday time as holidays.
This just popped in my head. I'm sure we've asked you a million times, but where does water factor into this? Forget about Thanksgiving, but should one have a glass of water before you sit down for any meal or with the meal? Does that make any difference?
Water can help a little bit with digestion, but it's neither here nor there. It doesn't really matter. Again, it won't take up much real estate. Water usually goes through your stomach really fast. I can't make any claims that water is going to do anything. Look, I read things all the time. Drink 3 glasses of water when you wake up in the morning. It, A, B, C, and D. It doesn't do any of that. It's all just wives' tales, as far as I can tell. And don't overhydrate, folks, unless you're going to drink a lot. Then the water comes into effect. You want to drink a ton of water, take electrolytes, and all that stuff. It can stop the effect of drinking, not eating.
Here's an interesting question that I'm not sure the answer to. Robert, 28, from Tulsa, got a question for Vinny.
Yeah. Hi, Vinny. I started NSNG last week, and I've got a whole lot of weight to lose. I've already lost about 20 pounds.
Nice.
And looking to lose about 150 more. I started out about 420. I'm trying to get down to 250.
Wow.
I usually eat a boiled egg for breakfast with some bacon or lunch meat or something. I was wondering, I'm trying to eat more salads with NSNG dressing and stuff. I was wondering how tomatoes, if they were okay to eat, or if they were okay to eat in moderation, or what. I know a tomato is probably the least of my concerns whenever I weigh this much, but I was just wondering what your advice was on that.
Thanks, Robert. Where are we, Robert, with tomatoes?
Tomatoes never made anyone fat. You can't sit there and just hammer tomatoes all day long, but eating tomatoes on a salad is good. If you're eating salads, Robert, the bigger thing to do is to not have commercial dressings or even the ones that could be made by your favorite restaurant. The best dressing on a salad, olive oil, number one. And you want to make it a pure olive oil. You don't want to have one that's cut with seed oil. That's number one. And you can doctor that. You can put salt. You can put black pepper. You can put any herb or spice in there. And the thing that always makes a salad taste good with olive oil, even if you put just a dash of white vinegar, that acid brings out the flavor in all of the vegetables that's in the salad. So you could do it that way.
Ryan.
Vinny, asking on behalf of Robert and all the Roberts in the world, is there a law of diminishing returns when it comes to like tomato sauce, tomato paste, things of that? Processed, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, too much of it is not good. You know, so you gotta limit the amount of tomato. Look, you never want to have like tomato paste type stuff that you know you reconstitute. And, but small amounts of tomato sauce here and there is never going to hurt anything. As a matter of fact, I make a thing where I use ground beef, I make up fresh sausage, and I mix in. Anna Vocino has this Eat Happy Kitchen tomato sauce. I mix a whole pack with 2 pounds of ground brown beef that I brown myself. I slice up the sausage in there. I brown that. And then when I'm all done, I take 6 hard-boiled eggs. I call it triple protein crime.
Jesus.
And it lasts for 2 or 3 days. I have a big vat of it in my fridge. If I'm going to the gym to do leg day, if I'm going to get on my rowing machine for an hour, I'll just slap some of that, stick it in the microwave, and I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right.
You know? Gina.
Yeah, 2 things on that. First of all, he's been saying that since the beginning, at least to me, about, you know, stay away from those dressings. And now if I make any kind of ranch dressing, I make it at home with my sour cream or Greek yogurt and a little bit of cream and then, you know, my dill, whatever. I tried grocery store ranch that I grew up on not too long ago. It tastes like Elmer's glue. I didn't know it until I stopped eating it for so long. And so it's like, talk about a way to wake up your taste buds. And when you said you never got fat from eating tomatoes, I think I may have told you this before, but many years ago, I went to Weight Watchers because I was always a skinny kid. I just couldn't stop gaining weight. I hadn't met Vinny. I didn't know anything. And you ask questions to the team leader or whatever. And one of the people who was, you know, severely overweight said, you know, but I heard because you could eat at the time. I don't know what it's like now. At the time, all fruits and vegetables are 0 points. Mm-hmm. And that means you can eat as many as you want. And one of the people raised their hand and said, but can't you eat too many apples? I don't want to gain weight from that. And the teacher who had this like thick, like New Jersey accent goes, raise your hand if you got fat from eating too many apples.
Yeah, it's so true. It's just us. It's us pretending. It's kind of, in a weird way, it's kind of like when Gavin Newsom starts talking about being carbon neutral by 2026 or something. Homeless people are building fucking skyscrapers on the sidewalk. Like when you start,
that's a lofty goal.
Yes, when you start getting into the minutia, it's just a smoke screen for all. You have much bigger fish to fry. Pardon the food pun, but Vinny, I want to get back to the pasta sauce tell me if this is kind of a true statement. I think much like with the salad dressing, you think you're being healthy, you're going to make a salad, and then you go to the store and you buy the Thousand Island whatever, and it's all fucked up because it's all full of oil and corn right. syrup and everything else. Maybe the same token with the pasta sauce. You know, are there any that don't have the sweeteners and the corn syrups and the oils and that kind of stuff? Like, is there a good brand that you could find at the Gelson's, at the Whole Foods, or the supermarket that is just a straightforward pasta sauce, red sauce, that doesn't have all the shit in it?
Yeah, the problem is there is one at Williams-Sonoma. They make one. The reason I mentioned Anna Vocino sauce, not because she does a podcast with me, but she makes it without seed oil. She uses Villa Capelli olive oil, which we vetted, and we know that it's 100% olive oil. We know that she doesn't put any added sugar in it. I think there's stuff close to hers, like at Williams-Sonoma, but they charge even more of a premium for that. It's like $20 for a little. Who's going to buy that for sauce? Or as my parents call it, gravy. No one's going to pay for that.
But if you're at the supermarket, what should you do? Just stay away from the like ragu and the big stuff.
And
then read the label?
I could tell you what's on that label. It's full of seed oil. It's full of crap. They add sugar. There's dextrose. It's not good. You know, none of the stuff that costs $4.95 is going to be worth a damn. They can't sell it for that. You can't stew tomatoes and sell it for that. It's just not going to work.
You've offered a narrow window because 10 seconds ago you're saying $20 is a princely sum for tomato sauce. And now you're going, you can't buy this stuff for $5. Who are you, high? So what's a sweet spot? $10?
What you have to understand is if I went out and vet it, and I have it, if I vet it 30 brands, anytime I find anything good is going to be somewhere between $12 and $15.
Right. So it's basically like, you know, ordering lobster or seafood or something like that. Like if it's close to free, there's something wrong with it.
Exactly. The reason Taco Bell can sell a 69-cent double taco package is because you're eating crap.
Yeah.
You know, you go to a real place to get a real taco, you're going to pay $5, $6, whatever it is. You know, I don't buy tacos. I have no idea. But, you know, it's like that.
Can I just tell you really fast? Other ingredients, seed oil, I don't know. But the consistent low sugar sauce that I find very easily is at Trader Joe's. The Trader Joe's brand, like Trader Giotto's, if we're still allowed to say that, it has 3 grams per, what is it, for serving, as opposed to everything else that has 6, 7, or 8. That's what I go to when I'm in a hurry and I get a jarred sauce.
That's good.
I was going to say similar. Vinny, I know you haven't vetted every sauce, but the Rao's sauce has no added sugar. I think it has like 4 grams per serving. Not perfect, but good.
You see that, Brian? What are they charging for that? Rao's is,
Rao's is typically $10, $11.
That's what I was mentioning a second ago. You're not going to get good sauce at Ragu price. Yeah. It doesn't exist. The price point is just never going to work.
We got a question from Mike in Dallas, 42. Mike got a question for Vinny.
Yeah, hey, Vinny. Hey, Adam. Hey, everybody. I've heard a lot, and we talk a lot about the type of having, so distilled liquor or tequila being, safe or able to have and not kick you off the diet. So asking because I have in-laws visiting, I guess coming on Thursday and staying for a week and a half. So, let's talk about quantity of those distilled liquors and how does it affect, there's no free lunch. So if I drink a bottle of tequila or half a bottle or whatever at night, how does that affect the diet versus... I mean, I just kind of, like, that's the part I'm missing on all this stuff, knowing that I'm going to have to be drinking a copious amount of liquor over the next week and a half.
Yeah, if the in-laws are there, you want to be as close to a bottle of booze a day as you can.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, there is a limit. You can't just sit there and hammer booze day in and day out. If it's one drink or a two-finger, whatever, you're fine.
Did we we figured out that champagne was better than red wine or white wine, right? In this index,
champagne is wine.
Dry champagne.
Dry champagne, just like dry wine, is going to always be 100% better than doing the fruitier stuff.
Right. And there's a couple. Is there a light beer? I know you hate light beer, but is there a light beer that you like, or a beer that you like?
Brian, you came up with one or two.
Yeah. So funny story about that. One of them was the we did a whole thing on this a while ago, and one of them was the Scrimshaw Pilsner.
Right.
And I was psyched about that because I like Scrimshaw Pilsner. I'm like, I'm gonna buy. And I went to their website, and they had an addendum which was like, a lot of people have been interested in our beer because of the low carb content. Turns out we made a mistake. It's actually like 11 grams per bottle. It's like, oh, that's a significant mistake. Mm-hmm. Now, one that
that's
is
like Seinfeld.
One that it says on the can, 2 grams per bottle, 2 grams of carbs per can, and it's very good is the Lagunitas Daytime, and assuming they're being honest, which I have to assume, it's a solid beer. It tastes like an IPA. It's an IPA, so it's not going to be like some Bud Light, thing you're not going to even taste.
Lagunitas Daytime.
Lagunitas Daytime. It's pretty. It's got to be in every BevMo, every Total Wine. It's a very popular beer. You'll find.
And
it in
also,
some
I've been looking for a beer to drink during the day. And I think I've met my match.
I think you're a lot of drinking at night, man. I don't want to, overstep.
Well, no, I'll switch to scotch. I'm looking for a daytime drink. What do you think the alcohol, you can look it up. What do you think the alcohol content?
It's in my fridge over there. I'm going to guess it's in the neighborhood of 5.3, perhaps.
Five says Max Pata, which
sorry,
is...
Sorry, I meant to type 4.
Not as good as 5.
That's still better than a Bud Light, which is like 3.3 or something.
Yeah. All right, Vinny, let me give you some plugs because we got Art Bell waiting for us over here. VinnyTortorich.com, NSNGFoods.com. Get some of that. Get some of that ultra fat nut butter. That stuff is insane. Dr. Drew is sucking off that like a young kitten sucking off his mama's teat, man. He's in here every day sucking those things down, and they're good. That's the.
Yeah.
That's the best part. All right. We'll take a thanks, Vinny. We'll take a quick break.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, wait a minute. I got a piece of business here. We got Art Bell, who started Comedy Central. He's got a new book, so we'll talk to him. Not the Art Bell that's dead, but the Art Bell that started Comedy Central. He also claimed on Instagram, I guess, Max Zapata, that he had an artifact from Comedy Central that nobody else had.
Ooh.
But we shall see if anyone else has it. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John this Black Friday. Fight cold with the cozy with Tommy John underwear, loungewear, pajamas, and bras. Shop their Black Friday sale right now. Give the gift of comfort to everyone on your list. And do it for yourself as well. I'm wearing Tommy John right now. The loungewear, this is the best part about it cooling off outside, is being able to put that Tommy John loungewear on. It is so good. Say bye to the old stained sweatpants. Tommy John loungewear, luxurious, soft, guaranteed to fit perfectly. And pajamas, underwear, it's all there. And they have limited edition sets as well. So I don't know what else to tell you other than it's the best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's free. Guarantee. Right, Dawson?
Shop Tommy John's Black Friday sale right now to make sure your gifts arrive by the holidays. Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off site-wide. Get 20% off for a limited time only at TommyJohn.com/Adam. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
All right. We'll take a quick break and we'll take a deep dive into the old school Comedy Central right after this.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.